together to celebrate and rejoice the greatest oxymoron in all of history, namely Jesus Christ. Allow me to elaborate as we consider our two texts for this morning, and we're going to kind of look at them in reverse order this morning, starting with John chapter 1. John 1, we're going to look at verses 3 and 4, but we're going to read verses 1 through 14 because it's a marvelous statement. I wanted this all to be read because I want you to understand, as we hear John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, what we're hearing basically is John's version of the nativity story. This is John's version of the Christmas story. These are the words of God, words from the book that we love.
In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Again, these are the words of God. And I want you to notice the grand language that John uses here in the opening words of his gospel, and how already at chapter 1, verse 1 of his gospel, he connects us to the Genesis event, to the creation of the world. In the beginning, he starts out. In the beginning was the Word. But what John goes on to tell us is that while God the Father is the creator, Christ was right there with him at the beginning of all things. Indeed, one might say that Christ was the Father's agent of creation. John says in verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, in saying this, John is not taking anything away from the Father, saying that Jesus is the creator rather than the Father. But rather, John's point is this: as the one who was with God in the beginning, the one who was God and is God, Christ does what the Father does. So as the Father creates, the Son, Christ, creates along with him. Indeed, everything, John says, everything was created through him. And so we may speak of Christ in the same way that we speak of the Father. We may call him the Creator. Paul puts it this way in Colossians 1, verse 16. He says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. And so Christ Jesus is the author of all things. Now, having heard John tell us that very clearly, I want to back up a little bit, and I want to jump over to Luke chapter 1, verses 31 and the first part of 32, which is our second text for this morning. Here, the angel of the Lord is speaking to Mary about the coming of the Christ child, and he says this. Again, these are words from the book that we love.
You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High.
Again, those are the words of God. Now, by speaking of this child who's going to be born as one who will be called the Son of the Most High, the angel is not so subtly saying to us that Jesus is God. And that fits very well with our text from John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where we're told that through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus Christ is God. But then I'm going to back up to Luke chapter 1, verse 31, and take a look at that text. There the angel says that this child, this Christ, this one who was very God, this creator of all things, will be born. Now think about that for a moment. The essence of being born is being created. A child begins as nothing more than a couple of cells that happen to bump into each other. And then that child is knit together in his or her mother's womb. A child is created through that process that we know as pregnancy. A child comes into being. And so the angel tells Mary this: within your womb, the Creator will be created. Created Creator. Talk about your oxymoron. And yet this oxymoron stands at the center of Christmas. It stands at the center of our celebration. G.K. Chesterton, great English writer from the past century, describes the wonder of Christmas with the following oxymora. He says, omnipotence and impotence, divinity and infancy. And he goes on to write this about the newborn child. He says, the hands that made the sun and the stars were too small to reach the huge heads of the cattle. Bethlehem is a place where extremes meet. Unquote. Christmas is indeed about extremes meeting in Jesus. We have a helpless child who is the helper and rescuer of all. We have a fragile life that brings life to the fullest, life that goes beyond this life, this world, and into life eternal. In this weakness of this child, we find strength, strength that is so great that it is able to defeat sin and death and hell. But what's even more remarkable about the oxymora, these extremes of Christmas, is this: that in these oxymora of Christmas, we find a perfect picture of who God is. You see, the meeting of meekness and majesty in Jesus Christ, in the Christ child, is not an aberration. What I mean by that, it's not as if somehow God, in this moment when he humbles himself to take on human flesh, that somehow God is acting out of character. That this is the one moment where God steps out of his glory and he decides to come down to us. Rather, this is our God. This is how God operates. This is who he is. The God of the universe is not some pompous, aloof being who deigns from time to time to come down and visit with us poor, pitiful creatures. No, the God of the universe is all about reaching out to us, reaching out to his creation, stepping into our lives, doing more, going more than the extra mile to draw us to himself. And if you don't believe that, I encourage you to reread the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and the people of Israel. I encourage you to spend a little time with the book of Jonah and see how the God of the universe, this great and glorious God, is constantly pursuing his people. He is constantly pursuing even those who have turned their backs on him. He is constantly coming to us as he comes to us in the Christ child. Christmas, while being the most amazing event to ever happen in human history, wrap your mind around that sometime. The infinite contained in the finite. The glory of God in the body of a child. It's the most amazing event in all of human history. But in another sense, it's simply God being God. Omnipotence and impotence. Divinity and infancy. Majesty and meekness. That's the God of the extremes, the God of oxymora, who on this Christmas day calls you into relationship with himself. And that's really the point. The point of the oxymora of Christmas, the point of this majesty contained in meekness, this omnipotence contained in impotence, the whole point of all of this is relationship. God calls you into relationship with himself. God spans time and space with an incredible combination of power and humility so he might draw you to himself. So that he might, as John put it in our reading, make those who believe in him to become his children. Children born not of natural descent or a human's decision or a husband's will, but children born of God. Children who respond to the love that God shows in Jesus Christ with love of their own. Children who receive the story and believe in Jesus Christ. And so I invite you today to welcome Christ into your heart. come to faith, to believe in him, or to re-invite him into your heart at this Christmas time, to believe and receive the oxymoron of Christmas. Jesus Christ, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, being in very nature God, humbled himself. Praise God for that nature. Praise God for who he is, because it's because of who he is that we have hope, and we have joy, and we have life. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we praise and thank you for Jesus Christ, for his meekness and his majesty, for his infancy and his divinity, for his impotence and his omnipotence. We praise you, Lord, that in Jesus Christ these extremes come together, that these extremes meet, so that in him we have life, in him we have hope, in him we have a future. And we bless you, God, for this nature of yours, whereby you are continually humbling yourself, continually coming to find us, to seek us, not because you are weak, but because you are strong. Not because you don't care, but because you are loving. And you come into our lives and you call us into relationship with yourself. And I pray for all of us here, Father. For those of us who don't know Jesus and those who have known him for many years and everybody in between, I pray, Father, that today we would once again open our hearts to receive Jesus Christ, the one who is the example, the very embodiment of your love and of your giving of yourself to us. And it's his name, in his name, that we pray. Amen.